Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday, February 5th edition of Byers & Company. We're live in the Palatial Studios. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf will join us, plus Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports and Illini tickets, courtesy of J.L. Hubbard Insurance and Bonds. It all starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
We are back here on a Tuesday. Hope you're all having a great start to your day. I want to welcome into the program Mayor Julie Moore Wolf. She has agreed ever so kindly to come visit with us on Tuesday mornings following a council meeting so that we can get straight to the source and talk about what happened and what's important and the priorities in the future, rather than sort of sensationalizing the headlines, which is not what we do. Lindsay, I asked you about like the media coverage for the FFA thing yesterday.
Yeah.
Let me just give you a little snapshot of TV right now.
Okay.
Here are the headlines. Here are your news. Standoff forces school lockdown in Danville. Police, gunshots damage multiple Rantoul homes. Police, man dug key into child's face as discipline. Police, tenant threw bag of dog food at landlord. Those are the most important stories of the day. I think that we can't ever all do it right. There's not enough of us to do everything justice. But I think we owe more to our communities to cover things that are happening because it does shape and influence the way people view the community they live in. I mean, the media has a role in that. You spend a lot of time on the other side of the camera.
Absolutely.
Being the face of, back in the heyday of 6 and 10 News, what do we, the media, owe a community as far as telling the stories that happen in it every single day?
You know, it's a tough call because you want to grab people and make sure that they tune in and stay with you after the, you know, whatever show they're watching or that they, you know, oh, wow, what happened? I should know. I should tune in. But by the same token, you really need to be a part of telling the good parts of your community.
Because what I want to know is why that isn't news. I mean,
it is news.
It happens.
Whether you have enough people to cover it.
Okay, but why do I need to know about a dog food and a landlord? I mean, how is that changing the quality of my life at all?
It's man bites dog.
Okay.
You know, and it's like, it's that also, guy threw dog food at a guy.
It's also then, 2019.
I know.
And people can go get their information in a lot of places.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I just think some people are playing by the old rules, and I guess that's their business and you know, whatever they want to do. We just have decided with nowdecatur.com to take a different approach and concentrate on the quality of life in this community. It's not like there's a shortage of stories to tell. There's plenty out there. Yesterday, our Ag Academy kids from MacArthur and Eisenhower spent the entire day with the National FFA officer team.
Which is so cool.
They were here.
It was a big deal to get them here. Huge.
Here for the entire day. Uh-huh. They're in Illinois for 5 days, and one of those full days was spent right here in Decatur. They also had a program last night at Richland. That was opened up to a little bigger audience. But these kids are so impressive, and you're reminded what these kids now have a chance to do in District 61 and become. Who knows, maybe someday, you know, one of those FFA officer, you know, teams, you know, we've got a kid from Decatur.
Absolutely. And you know, we're growing our own workforce here. We can't fill the jobs we have. We've got 1,100 job openings in this town or in this county, and we can't fill them. Well, we're going to be able to fill them as we grow these kids into careers in agribusiness.
Well, this agribusiness committee that gets together, you know, like every quarter or twice a year, like 55 people on this committee. And it's everyone from labor to corporate and everything in between.
Absolutely.
You talk to Josh Sapp at the IBEW, and their average age electrician is like 47 years
they're
old.
They're aging out.
Yeah. And so
they've got to recruit this people into the trade.
This solves a lot of problems, or at least points people a lot of different directions. And the kids still have to do the work.
It gives them opportunities they didn't know they had.
Yeah.
And their parents may not have recognized because, you know, if you didn't grow up on a farm, what would you have to do with agriculture?
Yeah. Well,
most of the jobs are 70%
of what drives this entire state's economy. So it's a big deal. All right. Let me ask you about perception in communities. I know that as a mayor, you spend time with other mayors, around the community. And I would never pick on another community because I know what that feels like here. When you're outside looking in, you really don't know. But I get, for because we have a radio station that's in Champaign-Urbana and very popular, we get all of the news releases and all of the stuff from the Champaign and Urbana police departments, just like we get from our police department. And I will tell you that it's not even close.
Oh, I know.
What we are getting day in and day out from what's happening in Urbana and Champaign. Yesterday, they had to close down a school. Teacher was injured and hospitalized. They had nine students arrested. And they've got a gang problem, much like what we had in the 1990s. Mm-hmm. It's not even a community's fault. I mean, you have to deal with it. But a lot of this is sort of transient, you know, coming in. I mean, most of it's not even always homegrown. It's a horrible problem. And so I would never sort of belittle them for what they're having to deal with as far as murders and everything else that's happening over there. But yet there are people here. And this is where I think the media is partially to blame, that perceive our school district. We have a freshman at Eisenhower High School who's having an amazing experience. I mean, and this is a straight-A student who could go anywhere he wanted to go. We could put him in Mount Zion Schools tomorrow, and that's no slight to Mount Zion, but he's having an incredible experience. Why do people still in our own community perceive Urbana to be much more sophisticated or much more full of opportunities versus our own community?
You know, I really don't know. We've got phenomenal things happening in Decatur Public Schools. And I'll be honest with you, when the breaking news thing came across my phone that, you know, people injured, you know, I couldn't get my phone swiped open fast enough to make sure it wasn't here. And, you know, the relief was like, oh, thank goodness it wasn't us. But at the same time, you feel for, well, it's like in Mattoon. Mattoon had a school shooting, you know, a year and a half ago. You know, it can happen anywhere. Yeah, I will tell you, and I am very involved with the Illinois Municipal League. I'm good friends with the mayor of Springfield and good friends with the mayor of Champaign. They are very envious of our downtown. You know, and I love to hear that. They come over from Springfield and go, oh, wow. You know, I wish we could get this going again in Springfield. But, you know, you've got the right ingredients here, and it really works.
We were over, oddly enough, it was the day of the Governor's Cup Award. And we had to go over early for a presentation, and then we had a gap, and then we had to come back for the thing that you were kind enough.
I walked around Springfield going, where did everything go?
We couldn't find a restaurant to eat lunch. We finally did, but there were...
There used to be cute little shops.
Yeah.
Like we have on Merchant Street and on, you know, Business 51 South. They're gone.
Yeah.
There's just not much there.
So I know that the state is suffering its own. I mean, you know, the state of Illinois is not helping anyone. Springfield, us, Urbana, Champaign. But I do feel like demographics are shifting. I do feel like opportunities are changing. And I do think that we're on the track to do some amazing things. How do you balance sort of the old school? You know, there's a large group of people who just want everything to be like 1970. I mean, and that's just not going to happen.
Or 1950.
Well, I was being kind. Yes, 1950. And other than being able to go buy cigarettes in Hawaii when they raise age, you know, to 100, folks have to realize that life changes, life evolves, recreation changes, opportunities change, jobs change, communities change. How do you do that and balance the constituency, you know, and make everyone happy?
You can't make everybody happy. You know, you just do your best to keep things moving forward. You know, and it's hard because a lot of stuff that cities do, it takes years to accomplish. For example, we have the money in the bank to build the Brush College overpass, to get over those railroad tracks, to alleviate a lot of problems on the northeast side of town. You have to go through a number of steps. You have to do environmental studies. You have to do things. Actual construction will start in about 2 years, but that's going to happen. It's just 2 years is a long time. And, you know, so we keep moving things forward as best we can. You try to balance quality of life, make sure you've got arts and great things happening in your community, as well as making sure the sewers work.
Yeah, I think that there's... The art stuff, and a lot of that gets done in a private sort of way, which is, you know, not necessarily a bad thing. But we've had such great fortune with now Under Sheriff Buffett, who was sworn in on Friday night. It was kind enough to they had me down for the swearing in, which is always kind of fun. Those guys are, they love him down there. I can tell you just watching him. I mean, for people who think this is just some sort of like, I buy my way into something kind of thing. You just clearly
have no idea.
Don't have a clue because he is so well liked by all of the men
not
and women
just
down
liked,
there.
But respected.
Well, but I'm saying he's one of them. It's not some, he was sworn in Friday night and he was out on a shift, Friday overnight. Because I think he just loves interacting with people and the people don't know who he is.
Yeah, and he's, he will get out there and get his hands dirty.
No, he does
you
all
know,
the work.
Yeah, he does yeah. all the. He really does the work. It's not just you know.
But people don't realize what this is going to mean just north of us as we sit here today and this
community
cares
campus,
Yeah. And this is. I was talking to Tanya just the other day, you know, about how quickly construction is going on. And
oh,
Tony's
it's amazing!
Doing an amazing job. If you haven't been by there, I would encourage you to go take a look. But the idea that this campus is being built, and I heard from the naysayers, and we had the big press conference, and this was like a year and a half of meetings and, mm-hmm. and work, and you were involved in several of those. And then somebody texted me that night, we're just bringing in all the scum from around. And it's like, first of all, if you're going to do this, and you're going to bother me at 9 o'clock at night on my phone, do some damn homework. Because this is going to give our citizens, the people here, who need help, not jail time, the opportunity to change their lives. And it's going to be something that you will not be able to find outside of people that are willing to spend $30,000 a month for someplace in Arizona.
And very few people can do that.
A tiny fraction yeah. of the population.
And then it may not work because they go back into a lifestyle.
The transitional yeah. housing, as I learned a
huge.
Lot in this process about, you know, addiction and about treatment of addiction. Mm-hmm. And the transitional housing is the key, that what makes this different than anywhere else. We found cities that have components of this, but they're not all on the same campus, and they're
and
not
this,
all...
This has to be holistic.
Yes.
Or it's just, you're wasting your time, because, I mean, very few people are able to just get treatment and then change
their lives. No,
because
they go right back yeah. into the environment, which oftentimes was, you know, part of the reason, if not all the reason, that they were there to begin with. So, and then I know last night you guys approved for the DMCOC. I want to make sure I got all the letters there. Some parcels of land that are, I guess, just north of the campus.
Yeah, the very little strip on the north
okay,
side.
Okay, right on that
but
side.
They are going to be able to bring a lot of things together under one roof, which they're scattered and they do. They're very quiet, but they do a lot of great work in this community that probably, unless you are somebody that goes to them, you don't even know about.
No, but the savings of cost and overhead and all of that other stuff.
Well,
the
and
consolidation
putting people together
of services.
With, yeah. you know, the services that can help them. It's just going to be phenomenal.
All right, so that's on that end. Mm-hmm. On the other side of things, we have a new city manager coming in, but we have a new interim city manager. We said goodbye to the interim city manager officially. I know this is going to
get
confusing.
Get a scorecard.
All right, so you've got Tim Gleason hires Billy Tyus to come work for him.
Right.
Up in Bloomington. So he has been sort of the interim city manager since Tim Gleason's departure.
Yes.
And kudos on a wonderful job. And, you know, Billy's a homegrown kid and everybody loves him. Mm-hmm. I know it was a little emotional last night.
I'm going to miss him a lot.
Yeah.
You know.
So any words last night? I mean, you know, he's done a great job. It's tough being the interim anything because
well,
you really.
And so much of what Billy has done, he's been a part of every major thing that's happened in this community for the past two decades at least. And, you know, but he's not one of those guys that's out there saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. He's done the work. Behind the scenes, kind of like Howard Buffett, but mm-hmm. he's the guy who has led a lot of these efforts and carried them out to make sure that, you know, the I's are dotted, the T's crossed, and even a lot of the visioning that has happened. So, you know, he has done a phenomenal job for this community. He will do great things in Bloomington, but he's always going to be our guy.
Yeah, well, you know, it's amazing because in that kind of position, you know, he's been through three city managers.
Yeah.
You know, it was Steve Garman that mm-hmm. hired him, and then he worked with Ryan McCrady, and then with Tim Gleason, and then Tim thought enough clearly to, you know, to recruit him to come to his new job. So that says a lot. I mean, because sometimes new city managers want their own leadership.
Right. And I mean, you know, there's a huge trust factor there. Tim knows what he's getting. Billy knows what he's getting. And,
yeah.
you know, I think they worked extremely well together when they were in Decatur. So, you know, that's going to continue up there. I'm excited about Scott Wrighton coming. I think he's going to be... you know, a whole new set of eyes on the community.
Yeah, it's interesting. I, you just don't know.
No, you don't, but he's really, really
I don't mean that
smart.
There's any reason no. to not know. I'm just saying you just don't know what you really have until we'll see, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he'll be here in March?
March 19th is his first day.
Okay, so in the meantime, Wendy Morthland will be the interim city manager. She's great. I don't have any questions about that. I just, is it unusual to have council be an interim? I mean, is
probably
there any...
somewhat, but you know, we... In trying to save money and reorganize things and doing everything you can to live within your means, I think we got a little thin at the top.
Yeah.
We used to have two or three assistant city managers. And then Tim reorganized city government, made Billy his deputy chief. And basically, it was Tim and Billy. And, you know, with Billy gone,
yeah.
you know, you don't have another assistant city manager. Wendy's been here a long time, and sure. she really, since Tim's departure, she and Billy have been doing
She's been on that floor for a long time. And
absolutely, but now she's going to be doing the job of three people.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's a month and a half.
Yeah, it's like 5 weeks. Okay. So, you know, we're hoping that everything is calm and boring for the next 5 weeks.
All right. I want to get your thoughts on the other side of the break about a couple of things. I think I've come full circle on one. The other, I don't have a handle on it all. I know the Champaign Council is looking at it. If you look at these e-cigarettes and vaping rates with high school students, the Centers for disease, you know, they're calling this an epidemic. I mean, they've gone from like, you know, 11% to 25% in 7 years in high school kids, right?
Right.
You know, while we've done a pretty good job, I think, of ostracizing smoking and making it sort of uncool.
Well, it's hard to do. You know, A, it's expensive. B, you have to stand out in a blizzard, you know, to get a smoke break.
Yeah, but we've done, you know, but I want to talk about legalization of marijuana, mm-hmm. and I want to talk about the vaping and the e-cigarette use, and then I want to talk about the gaming. Because I think those are three things that the state right now is looking at money, and maybe that's all they're looking at. And I want the other thing I think started as money too, although none of you asked for enough, because it just blew up with these gaming machines.
Yeah.
And then is there a difference between local gamers and sort of these big company gamers who got a hell of a deal from the state of Illinois, and all of that money in our community and every other community is just going right out of state as soon as it's pocketed? We'll get to those things with Mayor Julie Moore.
I may be here all day.
Well, you might be. It's going to take a little while to get into it. Here's Lindsay with your 3-day forecast.
Today, we do have a 20% chance of seeing some rain after 5 p.m., increasing clouds and highs near 39 degrees. Then for tonight, rain mainly after 8 p.m., with lows around 37 degrees. For your Wednesday, rain is likely mainly afternoon, cloudy and highs near 51. And Thursday, rain, temperatures rising to 53 by 9 a.m., then falling to 41 for the remainder of the afternoon. Right now in downtown Decatur, it is 27 degrees.
The boys at the Brass Horn in downtown Decatur need you to know the annual winter sale has taken another step to 50 to 65% off select merchandise.
Hello, everyone. This is Sophie from the Brass Horn 2. We're joining in on the fun by also hosting our sale, which includes fall and winter clothing and shoes, our Save the Duck coats, and home decor.
Don't miss out on the best sale in town. They can't wait to see you down at the Brass Horn.
And Brass Horn 2.
The Brass Horn and the Brass Horn 2. Downtown Decatur at 108 and 112 East Prairie.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. I just wanted to tell you about a couple of just a small amount of words that have changed my life, these powerful words. Thanks to Hickory Point Bank, it's so simple. All I had to do was say to my Amazon Echo device, "Alexa, enable WSOY skill." And then every time after that, all I have to say is, "Alexa, open WSOY," and I can listen to News Talk 1340 WSOY whenever I want. Thanks to Hickory Point Bank, invested. And thank you.
At Ameren, Illinois, we take safety seriously. And we know it's important to you, too. So if you smell natural gas, make sure to get everyone safely away from the source and call us immediately. A gas technician like me will come over to check things out anytime at no charge. Don't second guess when it comes to natural gas. If you suspect there's a leak, call 800-755-5000. Ameren, Illinois. Energy at work.
You're listening to Byers & Company, only on WSOY, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on this Tuesday with the mayor, Julie Moore Wolf. All right, let's start with vaping e-cigarette. We've seen a national increase that's just off the charts. It's a policing issue in my mind. It's one thing to, you know, do crackdowns on selling booze to kids. You know, you can get drunk, get behind the wheel of a car and take out an entire family.
Right.
Vaping is maybe some long-term thing. I mean, you know, I don't know where the resources come to police this, but do we do that at all?
Do we police it?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Yeah. You know, I think the best opportunity you have is in places that sell it.
That's what I'm saying. But everybody knows that there's a crackdown. Right. If you sell alcohol, there's fines. There's, you know, I don't know what what that looks like on the cigarette side.
I don't think it's been a high priority.
Yeah.
You know, because there are so many other things, like as you said, that are more dangerous.
Yeah,
that's an individual
saying that the
danger.
Macon County Sheriff's Office or the police department ought to be in the job of doing this, but I do think that it's probably pretty easy to buy.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
And you know, I think these kids don't think, I think, A, they think it's cool.
Yeah.
And B, that it's not that harmful to their health.
And we don't know that.
No, we don't.
Okay. So is there anything we can do about it as far as, I mean, I guess just education. And I don't mean to knock these businesses. They're not breaking the law. But we're talking about raising the age here in Illinois to 21. I don't know. Does that do anything? I mean, going from 18 to 21.
It makes it a little harder, a little more inconvenient. But somebody always knows somebody who can get them whatever they want.
That's kind of the way I see it. Yeah. I don't think that's going to make a drastic change
if
in the consumption.
If they can buy pot, they can get,
all right,
you
legalization
know.
Of marijuana. What does that do from a city perspective if the state does this? Because the state's famous for sort of making things happen, and then you have to deal with all the consequences.
Well, and you think about the floodgates and the problems that will follow this. You know, there
between
is a
the
huge
two things,
difference.
Medical marijuana.
Right.
I mean, there is a difference in my mind
there
between the two things.
There is a huge difference between the two things, because I would never, ever want to take away
as long as it's not California where
patient.
Everybody can get a prescription for anything.
It's not even easy for
terminal
cancer patients to get medical marijuana. It's a hard thing to do. But, you know, What do employers do? Because, you know, you can smoke marijuana and 2 weeks later it's still in your system. So there's one thing, if you're drinking on the job, they can tell, and they don't want you running their forklift or one of their vehicles and being a liability. But, you know, how do they police that? Unless
well,
they have zero tolerance.
They have zero tolerance. I just think you think it's hard to find truck drivers now. Wait till you legalize marijuana.
Well, and there are, I used to think, well, how, you know, this isn't that big of a deal, you know.
Victimless crime.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think that's true anymore. I think there are a lot of problems that we don't even know about that will be following this.
Well, and there's also the global problems, which, you know, if you haven't read Sheriff Buffett's book, The 50 Border State, I would highly recommend you do this, because, you know, what the cartels have done in relationship to us legalizing marijuana has shifted dramatically the cases of cocaine and heroin and fentanyl and everything else coming into this country. So it's not a victimless crime.
No, no.
You know, there's when you buy that joint, I mean, there is a story about how that joint got to where you are, and it's not a pretty one.
No, not at all. And, you know, I know the state lawmakers are looking for anything they can to dig Illinois out of this mess.
Yeah, but I can't imagine this isn't going to come back and double or triple the cost in social. This isn't a profit center.
Well, it's not. But, you know, they've managed to make a lot of money out of gaming.
Yeah.
And so I think they're looking at this as the next thing
but
they can do.
Did they make a lot of money out of gaming? You know, I know they're
somebody
making.
Somebody is.
Well, but a lot of these out-of-town companies, you know, they got a better deal than the casinos got. You know, they lobbied hard and paid a lot of money to get this. And all of this money is leaving. A lot of this money is leaving the state of Illinois.
Well, I know a lot of it leaves Decatur.
Yeah, and I have no problem with a local business guy or a locally owned business having these machines in there. If people want them, you know, we can argue all day about whether people should or shouldn't. But I have now, I think the people who take this money and just run with it. And you guys didn't get enough up front.
We didn't have enough information up front either.
Yeah.
You know, we did not look at this as a big moneymaker. I think Ryan McCready was city manager then, and I think he was estimating we'd get about $35,000 a year. Now it's like $1.7 million a year. And quite honestly, where would we get that $1.7 million today if we didn't have it? So if gaming were outlawed, how are we going to make that up?
Yeah.
And I think that's the direction.
Well,
the
what did you do before?
Well, costs go up every year. You know, pension costs, pension obligations, money coming from the state has been pulled back from us. So, you know, we got by. It didn't. But, I mean, you hit a point where you simply are going to have to start making some cuts. So, you know, as much as I hate it, it's become part of our budget.
Is there a chance of revisiting it? I mean, is there a chance of looking at locally owned versus not locally owned, or is that even legal?
I think we would run into lawsuits. Now, what we have done is, if you own a gaming parlor, and unless you are passing it down to your daughter, and it's a family business, you can't sell it to me and keep your gaming license.
Okay.
That's not going to work.
How many do we have? And by the way, when I say we, it's go through any town, small town, medium-sized town.
I don't have the accurate number.
Okay.
But we've cut the number of licenses, you know, back by attrition as businesses go out. We're not
reissuing this. Yeah. Okay.
We're doing what we can, but, you know, the horse is out of the barn and it's galloped far, far away.
All right. I wonder about the money that all leaves here, you know, and what those companies, they're not contributing back to sort of.
And I wish we would have done it to where if you, to have a license, because this was meant to help, you know, the local taverns and restaurants that were struggling after the smoking ban and the recession and everything else. I wish we would have said, okay, if you want these machines, that's fine, but you have to have 51% of your business as something else, whether it's food sales or liquor sales, not just, you know, open one up and, you know, your dry cleaner.
Yeah, but I think there's a market for the non-liquor stuff because that's why they're all named after women because they want a certain clientele.
Older women that used to go to the gaming boats, but now they can go in town and it's recreation for them.
Yeah.
You know, they're safe, it's clean, they don't have a bad element, but, you know... Now I'm becoming the moral police.
No, but if you could go back, I think you guys would do that differently.
Absolutely.
All right. So what else is on the horizon between now and March 19th or whatever the date is where the new city manager arrives? I mean, obviously, you're going to be counting on Wendy to sort of pick up the slack. But what's next for the council?
Well, right now, we're just taking care of business and, you know, moving ahead. We've got demolitions that are planned. So we're really moving ahead with community revitalization, trying to get the worst of the worst houses down. And we've got, I want to say, 36 that are either in process of coming down or on the block to be brought down. You know, from the library standpoint, we got to figure out what we're going to do with that space that the annex had and what we're going to afford to do. You know, I'd like to see a green space in there, you know, with park and something pretty.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't need to be asphalt. So, but, you know, you're always looking at financial issues. Meanwhile, we've got, you know, a couple of labor contracts that'll be coming up that we've got to get moving on, which is, you know, really exciting stuff. But
no, outside the police, though, you guys have had a fairly smooth time with that in recent years.
Yeah, we have. The firefighters, I think that was Tim negotiated that within 4 hours. So, you know, it went really well. We are working on our next two fire stations, you know, where those locations will be, because the one that's in Fairview Park is too small, and we've got to have a fire station on that side of town, as well as the facility that's currently at the airport. We're going to move out of the airport, have our own new facility somewhere in that part of town with easy access. So trying to figure out where those are going to be will be coming up in the next couple of months.
All right. Well, final question. We'll get you out of here until the next council meeting. You mentioned the airport. It makes me think about the Park District, you know, the county board. We got this debate going on about the recycling center, which we'll get into another time with Kevin Greenfield. But do you feel like that the entities are at least pulling in the same direction, maybe a little more so than they have in years past?
Well, I know the city and the county have been in lockstep for the last 3 years, just working on our transportation issues, and we've been really successful doing that. I like our committee members of the city council, the park district, the county, and the school district. You know, we may not be able to do everything together, but just the knowledge of what's going on in those entities and the direction they're going from conversations, because we aren't always good about watching each other's meetings and making sure we actually know what the other bodies are doing. But, you know, hopefully we can, you know, make plans better together as well and find ways to save taxpayers money.
Yeah, and it's not, I don't think it's often born out of a bad place. It's just sort of everybody's busy with their own thing.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Easy to get sort of in your own world. And
we're
not
taking care of our business. They're taking care of their business. But it makes a lot more sense for us to at least not to tell each other what to do, but say, hey, well, if you're doing that at Johns Hill School, maybe the Park District wants to think about this. And we certainly don't want to pave a bunch of roads right around there that are just going to be torn up.
Yeah.
You know, let's do this in the right timing.
And I know we broadcast a forum not all that long ago where leadership came together and talked about this. Is there another? And I realize it was staff and everything else, but is there future, you know, things planned or being talked about?
Oh, those committees are meeting.
Okay.
Members of each of those bodies plus the county are meeting regularly. And the second meeting of every month, council gets a report back from our committee members, Lisa Gregory and David Horn, of where are we, what's going on with this, to keep it in the forefront. It's an actual agenda item to make sure that we're, you know, updating the rest of the council, and hopefully by keeping it in the forefront, you know, we can see what's happening and where we can go.
All right, Mayor Julie Moore Wolf, we appreciate it. Thank you for being here this morning.